from the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the 16th day of February 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. And then the folks at Louis Dreyfus in Kansas City will join us to take up the agricultural energy markets. Along the way, we'll hear from University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good. He reviews the corn and soybean export market pace. And via the National Association of Farm Broadcasting, we'll get a glimpse into last Friday's two-hour-long, now-serving 9 billion webinar on food and feeding all of humanity. And then in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat at $5.05, up 18.5. The May at 5.19.5, 18.25 higher. In July, the harvest month, 18.25 higher at $5.32.25. March corn futures, 367.25 in Chicago, up 5.75. The May at 3.79, 5.75 higher. In July at 3.90, up 5.75. September contract, 3.96.75, up 5.5 cents. In December corn, $4.02, up 5.5 cents. March soybeans, a $9.65 settlement price, 20.5 cents the gain today. May futures at 9.74.5, up 20.5. July at 9.81.75, 21 cents higher. August at 9.77, up 21, and September at 9.56.5, up 19 cents. March bean meal futures at 283.90, up 3.90. The March oil at 38.95. up $1.11. Live cattle futures February contract $90.47.5, up $1.10. April futures at $92.17.5, $1.40 higher. The March feeders at $101.12.5, up $1.37.5, and the April contract at $102.32.5, up $1.50. April lean hog futures today in Chicago finished at $68.27.5, 7.5 cents higher, and the May futures there at $74.95. finished the day unchanged. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It comes to you each and every business day from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the rest of the markets look like. Crude oil futures in the March contract at $77 and a penny a barrel, a settlement price $2.88 higher. March ethanol at $1.71.8, a settlement price up 1.8. The natural gas at $5.32.7, off or down 14 cents at this hour. The RBOB gasoline at $1.99.1, 6.2 higher. Heating oil at $1.99.6, up 7.7. And the gold futures, the settlement price there, $29.80 higher at $1,119.30 an ounce. The Dow now stands at 10,232. It's up just about 134 points for the day. And the U.S. dollar at 79.7 is down 0.63 on the afternoon. The CRB index at 274.77 is 5.06 higher. And the Goldman Sachs at 511.70 is up 16.11 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like, as prepared by our own chief meteorologist Ed Keezer. He says a winter weather advisory remains in effect for most of the southern half of Indiana, that until 7 p.m. Eastern time this evening. Now tonight, in western and southern Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy. Elsewhere in Illinois, mostly cloudy, some scattered flurries. In Indiana, cloudy, scattered snow showers, blowing snow. Lows will range from 12 in northwestern Illinois to 22 in the southeastern part of Indiana. Tomorrow in western and southern Illinois, partly to mostly sunny, elsewhere mostly cloudy, scattered light snow showers and flurries. Highs tomorrow from 26 in northwestern Illinois to 34 in the far south. The extended forecast says some snow may fall in the southern third of Illinois and Indiana on Saturday. Another system may push through parts of the two states on Sunday into Monday. More on the ag weather when we get to the bottom of this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. On a Tuesday afternoon, we're joined by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, to take a look at the futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, a nice little update on this first trading day of the week. What happened in the marketplace?
Well, you know, we had a three-day weekend. We've got a holiday in China and South America here, the Lunar New Year, and, of course, Carnival. In South America, and all that put together why we saw the Commitment of Traders report come out Friday afternoon, and it showed that the funds were record short in wheat and highly short in corn and beans, and we saw a short covering rally that was sparked by the gains in the crude oil and the dollar selling off a little bit and just a little bit of short covering in the grains to make up for the oversold condition.
So they got into the marketplace, decided to see if they could take a little out of those folks. Do you think they will continue to do it tonight and again tomorrow?
Well, the way we close today, I'm going to say that we've still got a little bit of business to be done yet to get this back to what they could call a balanced position by the funds or taking the oversold condition out of things, Todd. You know, as we're looking here, crude oil's still up $2.96 on the day and the dollar down 70 cents. So all that together, along with the enthusiasm and some of the chart points, why we're not greatly friendly this market because of the fundamentals here, but we'd have to say for at least a 12 to 24-hour period why we might have to be somewhat neutral friendly.
All right, so we end up here with corn in the nearby at 367 and a quarter. December contract settled above $4 at 402 and three quarters. Soybeans in the nearby at 965 and a half, and the November contract on the afternoon, I have to go back to a different page, at 941, 19 cents higher there. Any of those represent selling opportunities or hedging opportunities for you?
Well, I think, you know, we've got some orders above the market, not too far away in the D's corn here. You know, there's a chance that that can be back in the 420 range, but we're going to be more of a seller in the 460. Range or so as far as we're looking at the D's corn to add to some of the guys and do a little catch-up sales. We know that some of the advisory firms today did actually sell some 2009 crop corn 368 basis the March. They priced about 15% of that today. So along the way, and I think these are gifts for both the crop insurance averages and for farmers that need to do a little catch-up selling.
And that was my next question. We're about halfway through the month of February. It's the crop insurance price-setting month. What do we see and what are producers asking of you about crop insurance, and what should they be thinking about at this point?
Well, I think that, you know, everybody should be thinking seriously about, you know, where they're at, what their production costs are, and what the levels, you know, we're going to, as we got another 15 days, and we can look and see, but looking at what they want to possibly do and be looking at what they need to insure for their production costs. I think it's going to be important that they know their production costs when they want to be start talking about their insurance or what their marketing program is going to be on how many, what percent of their crop they want to be able to sell if we do hit some of these rallies along the way.
Anything in the outside markets that we ought to discuss besides that crude oil price?
I believe there's a little thing called gold.
Yeah.
It's only up like $30 here as we speak, and that's been a tremendous push on the markets here today, Todd. That's setting a lot of good feelings, I guess, underneath things is the way we go. We'd sold off rather hard as to where we had went to in the gold over the last couple weeks, but like I say, these are awfully high levels for where you and I are used to seeing gold trade. We hardly ever set $1,100 in front of gold price when we were talking about it. So, well, these are high, but we've seen a lot of volatility there, and it did help with the grain prices quite a bit today.
You think it's too high?
Do I think it's too high? Well, right. You know, I'm not sure. I don't know what gold really represents anymore, being we've sort of went off the gold standard, and I think that it's been a flight to quality for many years in some cases, and I think with the volatility in the world right now, it's high, but it's probably going to stay high for a while.
Okay, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
The 20th annual All-Day Agriculture Outlook meeting is March 9th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And we have a dynamite lineup, including Sue Martin, Steve Freed, Chip Flory, Glenn Ring, Joe Persaki, John Bondurant, and Ed Kieser. The cost is $20 and includes a continental breakfast and lunch. Register now at 800-528-7980 and avoid the long registration line. We take all major credit cards. Call 800-528-7980 and we'll mail you your tickets ahead of the event.
If you'd like to see the complete lineup, you can always visit our website. The address for all of our programming, including a look at the All-Day Ag Outlook agenda, is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find the All-Day Ag Outlook, schedule of events and agenda, and all of our calendar, along with most of our daily agricultural programming. You can listen to it directly from the website or sign up to have it delivered to you automatically as a podcast from willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Sarah Lukacs in Morris at 815-941-3709. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. Up next, a panel of science and policy experts says governments around the world must invest more heavily in agricultural research and educate their citizens about the safety of biotech crops in order to achieve global food security. CropLife International, the biotechnology industry organization, and the Council of Agricultural Science and Technology hosted a two-hour webcast last week called Now Serving 9 Billion, a global dialogue on meeting food needs for the next generation. That event originated from the Newseum in Washington, D.C., and participants from over 30 countries on four continents shared their thoughts and perspectives during the program. During it, Nina Fedorov, science and technology advisor to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, lamented the reluctance to embrace modern plant science.
There is an element of urban elites that has turned itself against, and this is throughout the world, even in our country, turned itself against modern molecular biology because, in a word, people think that what they grew up with is natural. They don't realize how much modification has gone into making our agricultural plants. And they think this is unnatural.
Nowhere on the planet is resistance to biotechnology on display more than in Europe. Former European Commission biotech regulator Mark Cantley said EU policymakers deserve much of the blame.
They need to learn to prioritize the different messages which they have to balance. And I'm not that impressed by some of the priority choices which they make. They seem to reflect the next round of trade negotiations.
What do you want them to do?
I'd like them to listen to the scientific advice that they're getting and that they have ignored in Europe systematically in this area over the last 30 years.
Robert Parlberg, a political scientist at Wellesley College, offered another possible explanation.
It's not the presence of risk. It's for consumers the absence of a direct benefit from agricultural biotechnology. This is in Europe, which is already well-fed, and where farmers are already prosperous. Agriculture biotechnology doesn't develop the direct benefit in Europe that it can develop, that it can deliver in China or in India or in Africa.
Well, some of the panel suggested that it's up to the scientific community to market the benefits of biotechnology in farming to skeptical consumers. But nutrition advocate Marshall Matz, who co-chaired the Obama presidential campaign's rural outreach effort, said U.S. political leadership is needed.
I'm not disparaging
organic or sustainable. It's a legitimate source of food production, and people like it, and they can buy it, and that's fine. But in fact, you can't feed 9 billion people without technology. And it would be very helpful if Secretary Clinton said that directly. It'd be very helpful if the President of the United States, who has embraced science on so many areas, addressed that directly.
Surprisingly, Fedoroff, Clinton's science advisor, says she believes the organic garden at the White House feeds into the public's fear of biotechnology.
Well, I think that people really need to understand that organic farming is simply inefficient farming, which is why you pay twice the price for organic products. You have to put aside land to raise the animals or the green plants that you use to fertilize the rest.
According to Sharon Balmer, executive vice president of the Biotechnology Industry Organization, cutting-edge science, combined with sound public policy, offers the only real solution to the economic, environmental, and nutritional issues confronting both food processors and consumers worldwide. This is the Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. You know, USDA has revised its projection of corn and soybean exports. I'll have more on the outlook as we get halfway through this year in a moment. But first, a reminder to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find our calendar of events, a way to listen to most, if not all, of our ag programming from each and every business day of the year, including our Saturday Commodity Week program. It's all at willag.org. Now, here's more on those revised projections for the corn and soybean exports. USDA's World Agricultural Outlook Board updated the marketing year corn and soybean exports earlier this month. The marketing year runs from fall harvest to fall harvest in the United States, so it's about halfway through or in its midpoint, and prospects for the year are coming into better focus, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good. He starts his number crunching by making a projection of his own, suggesting that total exports for the year, based off first quarter numbers, should be running about 30 million bushels better than a year ago. If you subtract that number from USDA's 2 billion bushel corn target, Good says it's possible to come up with a weekly export number for the commodity.
To reach the USDA projection of 2 billion bushels for the year, weekly shipments need to average about 42 million bushels from now through August. To date, exports have averaged only about 33 million bushels per week.
33 million is the average shipment size, but not the amount of corn that needs to be sold to meet those shipments. That number smaller because there are already 469 million bushels of corn sales on the books, but not yet shipped. Do the math, and the actual weekly sales figure will need to average about 26.6 million bushels. It was less than half of that in the four-week period ending February the 4th. Corn sales will need to pick up substantially. It's a very different story for soybeans, where Good predicts current exports exceed those of a year ago by about 235 million bushels when you do a similar set of calculations for soybean as compared to corn.
To reach the projection of 1.4 billion for the year, shipments need to average nearly 14 million bushels per week from now through August 10th. To date, exports have averaged 44 million bushels per week.
Again, to reach the 1.4 billion bushel soybean export goal, shipments need to average about 14 million per week, far less, or about a third of the current weekly average for the marketing year. It sounds like good news for the soybean market. Still, weekly sales have begun their seasonal decline, averaging 12.8 million bushels for the 2 weeks ended February the 4th. As sales should continue to decline, says Darrell Good, as the record South American crop comes to the marketplace. That crop now is forecast at 4.754 billion bushels. It's 1.244 billion, larger than the drought-reduced crop in South America for 2009. Here's a futures-related news note for the afternoon. The CME Group has launched a distiller's dried grain agricultural commodities futures contract. It will begin trading April the 26th. Distiller's dried grains, of course, are a byproduct of corn-produced ethanol and used for animal feed, including livestock and dairy cows. The electronically traded and physically delivered futures contract, says the CME Group, can be used by livestock and ethanol producers, commercial corn interest, and others to lock in the price of feed or to hedge their ethanol refining margin in combination with corn, natural gas, and ethanol futures. The contract specs will be equivalent to 100 short tons, that's 2,000 pounds a ton, of distiller's dried grains. Deliverable grades must include a minimum of 26% protein and 8% fat, as well as a maximum of 12% fiber content, and they'll come in at 11.5% moisture content. The distiller's dried grain contract at the CME Group will begin trading on the 26th day of April.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. On a Tuesday afternoon, time to check the agricultural energy markets. On the line with us, Mike Barwinski. He's with Louis Dreyfus and located normally in Kansas City at the Commodity Board of Trade there. But today, he's coming to us from the RFA, or Renewable Fuels Convention. And I'm not sure quite where you are today. Where are you this afternoon?
Down in Orlando, Florida today.
In Orlando.
So a lot warmer weather than Kansas City right now.
I'm sure it is. So what are the hot topics in Orlando from the RFA?
You know, really now, the last few weeks have sort of been the perfect storm for ethanol production margins. So I'd say the main story right now is what is gasoline demand going to do? The storms in the East Coast really, really kind of hurt us for a while there. And the ethanol market just found out how precarious the supply and demand scale was.
And so there's lots of discussion about what that meant. And how quickly does it work into the system? I assume that happens quickly and then it comes back out. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, the storms in the Midwest, one, backed up a lot of ethanol, moved out at the same time. And so, you know, we're plugged up on the East Coast and the West Coast. At the same time, you had a really poor couple of months of driving season almost all over the country. So while most of the market was expecting an increase in gasoline demand, you had a drop. So it's a thing that will eventually work its way out of the system, but the general mood here is that it's going to probably take longer than what people expect. It's not going to be a 1-2 month turnaround. It's probably going to be a 3 or 4 month thing.
Yeah, so what does that mean for you as a buyer then, purchasing corn for ethanol plants?
You know, I think you would expect the corn market to kind of come to the realization and fall around ethanol for a bit. But, you know, for the most part, ethanol follows corn. And with the index players in the corn market, it's just kind of a natural bottom to prices where we haven't been able to go below. You know, kind of right, I guess, in March, right around that 350, 360 level.
Anything else that you want to talk about before I let you go for the afternoon?
No, I mean, I guess, you know, the also big news from last time we talked, RFS2 got released, so people are still parsing through that. Not much surprising news, but, you know, there's a lot of on the advanced biofuels and the cellulosic side that people are find interesting right now.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Appreciate it, Todd. Thank you.
You too. Mike Barwinski is with Louis Dreyfus. He's located normally in Kansas City, coming to us today from the Renewable Fuels Association conference in New Orleans. Back in 2 minutes when we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com.
On this day in agricultural history in 1665, Rudolf Jacob Camemarius was born. A German botanist, he showed the existence of sexes in plants and identified the stamen and pistil as the male and female organs. In 1876, canned sardines went on sale in the U.S. for the first time. They were packed in oil. In 1959, Andrew Moyer died, an American microbiologist. He invented a method for mass-producing penicillin. While working for the U.S. Agriculture Department laboratory, he discovered a technique for antibiotic fermentation using continuous shaking of a culture broth of corn steep liquor. a byproduct of the cornstarch manufacturing process, and lactose. In 2002, new regulations went into effect requiring German pig farmers to spend at least 20 seconds every day with each pig they own, 10 seconds in the morning and 10 seconds in the afternoon. And in 2008, the USDA announced what was at the time the largest beef recall in history of 143 million pounds of frozen beef from a California slaughterhouse. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, is on the phone line to tell us all about the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the forecast in South America. They're in the midst of harvest season in parts of that continent.
Yes, they are, and they're going to have a little bit of rain coming down. Now, last week, some headlines were grabbed as Rio had some of the hottest weather they've had on, well, in a long time, broke some records. But since then, things have cooled down a little bit, and many areas of Brazil and Argentina have got some good chance for some shower activity, especially Brazil, to a lesser extent, Argentina. But for harvest operations, I don't see anything getting too wet to where it's going to cause too many slowdowns. But in a few spots, rain may slow things down a little bit.
Okay, so Brazil and Argentina, full speed ahead, roughly speaking, for their harvest season. That will be very good for them. Do you see anything longer term that poses a problem? And at this point, I suppose it would be rainfall more as opposed to dry weather.
Yeah, definitely. That's something you got to be concerned about this time of year. But I would say that, with the exception of just a couple of locations in northern Argentina and central Brazil, even if they did get quite a bit of rain, soil moisture profiles aren't that bad to where you get too muddy. So I think that they'll be okay. They will probably trend a little bit drier next week.
Turn your attention to the other crops around the globe. Maybe pick up wheat in the southern hemisphere. That'd be Australia. And if you have something on India and Ukraine for wheat, and, of course, our own hard red winter wheat belt and soft red winter wheat belts here in the United States.
Well, let's go down under first. Australia has had some fairly active weather patterns that have brought rain to central and eastern areas of Australia. It's been a little bit of a different pattern for Australia. It is an El Nino year, and a lot of times that can lead to some dry, warm weather for Australia. But they've been able to keep shower activity going, and we're seeing that trend continuing as well. As we go over towards the Ukraine, Europe's weather has been a lot like it has been here in the U.S. You get into Russia, you get into the Ukraine, it's been cold and it's been snowy, and that trend's going to continue. So in terms of looking at soil moisture for the upcoming spring, right now the Ukraine looking like it's going to be in pretty good shape. Now, if we were to head over towards South Asia, India, you get over to there, not a lot of weather going on right now. Dry, only a few scattered showers in northern India. And most of southern Asia pretty quiet right now.
And then close out here in the United States with the hard red winter and soft red winter wheat belts for me.
Well, it's been a pretty stormy weather pattern, and we see a pattern that's going to stay active. Hard winter wheat areas have been able to get some moisture with a very active southern jet stream. While I don't see as much precipitation, I see some opportunities coming. And I also see some colder weather invading the nation's midsection, especially after this weekend into early next week. Temperatures across the lower 48 states will generally trend below normal, with near to above average precipitation in many areas.
Don, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great day.